sing it out. Breakthrough in my heart, breakthrough in my mind, breakthrough in my spirit, breakthrough in my soul, breakthrough in my weakness, breakthrough in my struggle. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough in my worship, breakthrough in my praise, breakthrough when I lift and glorify your name, breakthrough when I dance, breakthrough when I shout. You are the God, you are the God. Breakthrough in my heart, breakthrough in my mind, breakthrough in my spirit, breakthrough in my soul, breakthrough in my weakness, breakthrough in my struggle. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough in my worship, breakthrough in my praise, breakthrough when I lift and glorify your name, breakthrough when I dance, breakthrough when I shout. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough in my heart, breakthrough in my mind. Breakthrough in my spirit, breakthrough in my soul, breakthrough in my weakness, breakthrough in my struggle. You are the God, you are the man. Breakthrough in my worship, breakthrough in my praise, breakthrough when I lift, glorify your name. Breakthrough when I dance, breakthrough when I shout. You are the God,
sing it out.
You are the God, breakthrough,
yeah.
You are the God of the breakthrough. You are the God of the breakthrough.
Yeah, we breakthrough tonight. Thank you, God. Oh, I love it.
Rushing in and darkness comes, let us remember He already won.
Yeah.
In Jesus we triumph, our God has overcome. Forever the Savior, He has already.
Hallelujah.
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 Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of your Spirit.
what it says.
Oh, what a Savior, wonderful Jesus. Oh, what a Savior, wonderful Jesus. Oh, what a Savior.
You, Lord, like never.
Lord. We want you, Lord, like never before. Your presence is an open door. So come now, Lord.
The greatest thing that can happen in your life tonight is that your faith increases. Everything that comes to you by God is through faith. Amen. Lord, increase our faith. The disciples prayed it. Paul said you can go from this level of faith to the next level of faith. And God, for this faith, this breakthrough that we need, we believe, God, that you'll impart to us, not tomorrow, not next Sunday, not next week, not next year, tonight. That we will have that kind of faith impartation. God, let it be natural. Lord, let it just grow out of our lives. And let us see that it is greater that you are in us than anything that's going on around us. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. Amen. Welcome somebody sitting near you. Tell them you're happy you're here. They're here. Then you can be seated. Good job, guys, tonight. Wonderful. Welcome to Charleston Church. We're glad that everybody's here, and we're just rejoicing at what God is doing in our state, in our hearts, in our home. How many of you just sense God doing something in your home? Does anybody sense God? How many need God to do something in your home? That's one or the other. Well, either he's doing it, give him thanks, or he's going to do it and give him thanks. We thank God for his presence. If you're visiting with us tonight, especially online, if you're online tonight, tell us where you're watching from. Just simply write the town or cell number that you're watching from. But let us know that you're there. This is a great night for you to be here, and it's a great night for you to be tuned in. And we know that God's going to speak to us. This coming Friday night is our Fall Fest. Saturday night, I apologize, right? From 5 to 8, Fall Fest is taking place. That's for children, right? That's for children. Kids on the move age, is that right? And we have this is not just your typical, you know, great opportunity for kids to get candy. I mean, there are games. The hayride is like an experience. And I'm not going to tell you everything that's going to happen, because in case they want to spook you a little bit. But they won't do that, no. But if I'm there, I might try. But the hayride is great. There's candy, there's games, there's fun. And it's a great opportunity for you to invite your friends, family, especially people who need Christ, to come and be on the camp, be on site, begin to meet some Christians. You know, there's a lot of people that aren't serving God because they simply have never met a Christian. Some aren't because they have. But not us. That's not us, right? We're not those kind of people. They just haven't met you. I have a feeling if I could just get you in front of more people would want to come to Christ. And that Fall Fest is a great opportunity for you to do that. So make sure that you come. Honey, come on up here real quick. And Darcy was at our church on the Down East, down in Sullivan, preaching this morning. And give the people a little report how the morning went.
I just want you to know that you are going to love Sullivan Church. You have a church that's about an hour and a half from here that, I'll tell you, I just love them. It was so exciting to watch them. It was kind of like you got there and you have a hose with water, and they're just so excited to just be ministered to. And at the altar this morning, I really just told them that I really wanted to minister to them. And I had them line up. I talked about a wall and how the Lord was going to help them rebuild. And the hole from one side to the other end was just full. And I got to lay my hand and minister to every one of them. Not one person stayed in their seats. And they are so hungry. And I told them that Charleston Church prayed for them. I told them that the staff prayed over them. The board is praying over them. And you have a congregation that most of you haven't met that praises the same, that loves the same, that you have to make them stop talking at the end so they'll pay attention. They're very similar. Very odd, very similar. So, I just want to say how exciting. I had met them maybe a couple times, but to be able to minister to them was just so exciting, and I'm just honored. It was kind of fun. Paul and Heather went down this week and brought a group down there and did a Bible study, and they had victory. And how many know that we want victory? Amen?
That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, the crusade team went down, Paul and Heather. They had a breakout. Yeah, I mean, it was like a revival. Service went on for hours down there. They're hungry. And so it's so exciting. Grateful for that. So we're grateful for what God is going to do there. I want Matt and Alicia. Alicia's probably up here. Or Matt and Alicia. Oh, there you are. You're quick, Alicia. You're quick. You're fast, just like your dad. You're fast. We're so proud of our Haitian team. They're not Haitian, but our team that went to Haiti. And we had a great group go down this year. And we're excited to be a part of that. So it's nice that we can be supporting of them, but it's nice that when we've got people that are there on site to see it. Let Matt and Alicia know you love them. Grateful for their ministry.
Alicia was super excited that I was home tired last week and she got to speak, so I don't think she has much to say. So,
good job, honey. Take over.
We were super excited. How many of you like when you put your money to something that you see something come out of it? Yes? I know when I buy a car and it breaks down the first week, that's no fun. Or like my lawnmower I just sold today at a loss, and you buy it and it's junk and you lose money and you move on to the next thing. I hate it when my money doesn't go someplace. So when we take your faith pledges and my faith pledges to Haiti, we don't want to take them there and have them go in a deep hole where nothing happens. We want to take them there and put them to work for the kingdom so that we can celebrate together. Like when you get a really nice car that goes fast and it's fun. That's what I want to do with your faith pledges. Not that these legs go real fast anywhere, but I try. I try. So that's what we did. We took the faith pledges of this church and we went to Haiti and we put them to work. We put them in action. You could see our team. Anybody that's here on the team, put your hand in the air and wave it like you just don't care. That's right. We took this team down and we put them to work. You can sit if you want to, honey. You look so uncomfortable standing there if you like to. Okay. She likes to stand there and look at me, but I won't make her. We took them down and we put them to work. Every day we went out and we put up a bucket line and we took gravel one piece at a time from a pile of dirt outside inside to create the floor of a church where people will get healed, where people will get saved, where people will get delivered, where people will get set free, where people will get renewed, restored, and built up in their faith. we took our team and bucket by bucket, we started to build the foundation of what would be a church of 500. We didn't go down there just to watch our money go to work, but we put it to work. And there's something about tangibly taking your hands and being involved that is so much different than just sending something down. If you've never done it, Pastor Ward said this morning, he talked a little about being seen. We saw what the people of Haiti needed. We saw their situation. We saw where they're at. We saw the little kids in their devastation and their malnutrition. And we're doing something about it in Jerusalem. So every day we went for probably 4 or 5 hours as best we could in 80, 90 degree weather. And we sweated our little white selves to death. And we worked and we worked because we want to see a church in Jerusalem. We went 3 days and did what we call a feeding program. I couldn't speak last week, so I called it a fooding program every time. I don't know why. I think I was trying to speak Creole or something. But we fed 3 different communities. I figured that we fed, counting the group in the church, I figured that we fed around 500 kids. This is one of the most eye-opening situations. I watched from adults to the young people, Cassidy and Simon and Megan that were with us, just watch them weep as they see these kids. When you go there, they tell you that kids with yellow hair and kind of yellowish eyes are in the third stage of malnutrition and will probably have weeks to months till they die. When you hand children like that a bowl of rice and beans and a little bit of chicken, you know that you're making a difference in their life. You're not just giving them a meal. I can go to a buffet and eat all I want here in America, but it's only going to add the pounds on. That's all it's going to do for me. But when you walk up to kids that are literally dying in the streets, literally at the edge of their chances of life, and you give them a plate of food that was paid for by this church, by our faith pledges, by what your heart is willing to give week after week after week, that just fills you up with more than you'll ever know. We went back to the orphanage and we bought food to fill the pantry, which we're already doing every month, but we just put another big stock pile in there for them to help out. We carried down 1,100 pounds of dry donations from here. Every one of us, from little Megan, who Cody lovingly called the 12-year-old all week, every one of us carried 100 pounds of donations down with us to give away. And we also bought rice and beans, and we filled 100-plus care packages to give out to community people in Jerusalem Church where we're involved. We didn't go to random neighborhoods and hand this out. We went to Jerusalem Church, to people that will fill the church we're building, and we had them tangible items that could feed their house, that could clean their kids, that could clothe their kids, baby products. We took everything we could and we gave it away because that's what we want to do, give ourselves away over and over again. We did all that in the name of this church. We did all that with the faith pledges that you gave, and I know that we'll continue to do more in 2019, but I know, like I said in the beginning, when I put my money someplace, I want it to do something awesome. So if whoever has the video back there can show a few clips of that and then I'll summarize it at the end, that would be great.
One thing have I desired. Will I seek after that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold your beauty. Desiree, mi señora, Kiev on tap, Shashe. Serate, Lakai Senyea, Kutulavimwe, Contemplate, Lagwali.
God, and as we said for this week, you're a God of harvest. We just pray you would increase this harvest of souls. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
And that will I seek after.
If I can leave you this real quick, I'm going to summarize the message that I gave in the Jerusalem church, the first one I've ever preached there. The Bible says, if my people will come to me, turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, I will heal their land. Haiti needs a healing in its land. There's poverty, there's disease, there's sickness, there's corrupt government. I'm talking about Haiti, not the USA, in case you got the two confused. But we represent two lands that need healing. And how are we going to heal the land without seeing his face? It's in the Word. I told them about Moses, who saw God's face, and for the rest of his life, he reflected God. I talked about Jacob, who wasn't afraid to fight to see God's face. We can't be afraid to fight and to hang on, even if it takes all night, to see God's face, because it made him a new country, it made him a new person, it made him Israel. We need to reflect God, and we need to fight to see God. I told them about Lazarus. Lazarus heard the voice of God. It said, come forth. And the Bible says when Lazarus came out, they unwrapped his face. What did Lazarus see when they unwrapped his face? He saw the face of Jesus Christ. And that reminded me of one more person whose face was seen, and that was Jesus Christ, who went to the tomb for us. He died for us. He laid in that tomb, and when he stood up, I pictured just like Lazarus, the first thing he did is unwrap his face. And it's at that moment that we could truly look face to face with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and look to the one who could heal our land. All those other things that those people experienced were small compared to when Jesus unwrapped his face and he stepped out of the grave, and we celebrate everything that we conquer, everything we overcome. We celebrate because Jesus unwrapped that cloth and stepped into our lives to heal our land. If we can do anything, let's step from our wicked ways, seek God's face, and I know he'll heal the land of Haiti. He'll heal the land here in Charleston. He'll heal all of our opportunities we have around us, but we have to seek his face, and that's all it takes. So if you remember one thing as you're going forward, remember God unwrapped his face, and he stepped out of the grave for you and for every person in Haiti.
Let's praise God for that. Let's thank God. How wonderful. You'll see as you go out tonight a new flyer on what we're doing for these missions projects in 2019, including what we're doing at the orphanage. If you're new, we have got two projects going on, making sure that every child is fed at the orphanage and building a brand new 500-seat church with a feeding center in it. So it's exciting. You'll see in the seat racks in front of you these cards. They were there this morning. We'll be receiving pledges for our new year next week. And so be praying about what you can do. The Sunday school, the church, all working together to make sure. I think there's over 84,000 meals were given away between what we and the Sunday school have done together. It's awesome. It's awesome. What a privilege, right? It's a privilege to feed people. And so we're grateful for that. I want the ushers to come. How many of you like good news? I caught you off guard. You're thinking about something else. How many of you like great news? Yeah, like the news you don't hear at 6 o'clock every night, if you do still do that. I have an announcement for you. I should have did it this morning, but I'm going to do it tonight instead. But this is big deal. Somebody shout, this is a big deal. In 2012, we signed up for a $750,000 mortgage on the Epic Center. If you have not seen it, the Epic Center is down on that end of all of our facilities. And our economy was sinking, not the church one, but the national one was. And we said, let's take a step of faith. We believe that we need a facility to reach the next generation. And we said, we'll pay that off in 7 years. So by sometime near the end of 2019, we'll pay that off. And God gave us a plan. I don't need to bore you with all of those details. But God exceeded what we expected. And next Sunday morning, we're going to burn the mortgage note on the Epic Center of $750,000. Let's give God a better praise than that. God is so good to us. Isn't that fantastic? Once that is done, we'll do that this week. That property that we own in Bangor is sold. Look at me. Charleston Church is 100% debt free. And that the ministry's debt free. Now, we're not a debt free church as long as you've got a debt. I'm praying that God will take care of your debt so you can do more for God. But I tell you today, Charleston Church's ministry is 100% debt free. So we can do more for the kingdom. We can put more of our efforts and more of our talents and more of our treasure into the building of God's kingdom right here in Maine and around the world. I asked Rick to give me a number, how much money we saved. Was that a 20-year loan that you referred? If we did a 20-year loan on a $750,000 mortgage, we compared to a 20-year mortgage, our paying it off this week means that we will have saved $317,000 in interest. That sounds like a pretty good idea to me. Isn't that awesome? I'll tell you how it happened. One, we've obeyed God's voice. Two, stayed true to the vision. And three, made some good decisions. And I'm not debt free yet, but I'm praying that all of us can make those kind of moves and God will do those kind of things for the whole church. So one more time, let's let God know we're so grateful that He's a provider, take care of us. Thank God. So next Sunday morning, we're going to take out the lighter. We're going to have a fresh fire in the church Sunday morning. And we're going to burn that baby up. And we're going to rejoice together and thank God and just start dreaming about bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger things. Amen. So thank God for His faithfulness to us. Those that have been giving toward that, you can just stop giving or give it to missions. That'll be a wonderful thing, all right? Heavenly Father, we take these offerings that we give to You tonight. They belong to You. You give seed to sowers. That means givers always have something. And God, I thank You that the givers are here. I pray, God, that You'll continue to bless and multiply. We're not backing off. We're not taking a deep breath. We're not sighing. Lord, we're getting ready to do greater things for You. Lord, help us. Take us from being a garden hose to a fire hydrant of blessings for this world. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen and amen. God bless you as you give. I'm so excited that Anthony Nealon's going to be preaching tonight. I'm so grateful for his ministry. He and Sarah and their boys are, it's just a great family. Our Elevate ministry is growing and increasing. They're gathering in the fellowship hall every Thursday night. God is doing some pretty powerful things. And we're continually reaching a young generation. How many of you old folks are glad that some young folks are following you? You better be. You better be. And it's because of your carrying the water, if you would, for the church that God is doing that. And we have got some great preachers around here. And I say this with total honesty, and I'm not putting myself in this group, but on this staff are some of the greatest preachers in all the state of Maine. And that's not, I'm not in there. I'm still learning. But we're blessed with some great communicators. Would you give a warm welcome and a sense of gratitude to Anthony and Sarah Nealon for their ministry? And let's receive the word of God here tonight. I'm excited about it.
You're great, brother. Thank you, sir.
Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we got all sorts of good news coming out of this place today. I feel obligated right now. I don't think I'm going to do it, Joel, but every Sunday morning I watch Pastor Ward move this over here after Joel has placed it perfectly. I'm not going to do that. I'm so excited to share with you tonight. I'm actually sharing the foundation of this message was actually the very first sermon I ever preached. And so I'm digging this out. It's not stale. It's not leftovers. This is something fresh that God's placed on my heart. But the first time I preached this, I was at faith school. And this was my first five-minute public speaking message. Don't get your hopes up. I plan to preach for longer than 5 minutes tonight. Dr. Peer taught that class. So, oh, by the way, Pastor Ward mentioned something about a student in his public speaking class this morning, and he wanted to throat punch him. That was not me. He didn't teach me. I had Dr. Peer, so let's just get that clear right away. But Dr. Peer, he would give us 5 minutes. Once you hit the four-minute mark, he'd put one finger in there. You got 1 minute left, all right? And some people heeded the 1 minute and wrapped it up. If you didn't, he would put his hand up like this, your time's up. And if you didn't shut it down, I don't know if any of you went through that, but then he would stand up. And if you didn't get the clue, my friend, he came after you up to the platform to take you down. So if I see Pastor Ward stand up abruptly, I will know my time here has ended tonight. I remember there was a foreign student that he tried outwitting Dr. Peer. He did. He gave him all the signs, and he started walking up the center aisle. And that kid just ran to the other side and just kept on preaching. It was funny. Anyways, oh, praise the Lord. Tonight I'm going to speak to you on faithfulness. The title of this message, when I first titled it, I named it Hungry, Grab a Plate. I was fascinated with buffets at the time. But to make it a little bit more relevant to where I am today as a married man, a father of three boys, I figured we'd change the name to Hungry, Order a Pizza, and Ask for Paper Plates. It seemed to fit things a little bit better. I promise you tonight, before you leave, I've got a feeling that you are going to be hungry, both physically, because I plan to talk about food several times, but also spiritually. You know, around dinner time, I start to get hungry. When you asked my grandfather if he was hungry, he couldn't give you an answer unless he looked at his watch. Anticipation was building every time. Okay, yeah, it's time to eat. When my wife tells me what's for supper, I start to build that expectation. That anticipation begins to build. The same way in our spiritual lives, when we understand that God is doing something good in our lives and we're about to receive a blessing from the Lord, can I tell you that spiritually you begin to get hungry? That expectation builds and hunger arises in your life. So tonight, I want you to leave here hungry, not because you're not going to receive something from the Lord here tonight, but I found that the more I eat, the more I want to eat. When I eat, and I make a fool of myself and I eat way too much, it seems like if that trend continues, I keep wanting to eat more and more. And I'll tell you, the more that I get into the Word, and the more that I get into His presence, the more of Him that I want. So tonight I want you guys to leave. You're going to receive from God. But don't leave this place. I'm telling you tonight, don't leave this place until you've received what you need to receive from the Father tonight. Amen? Hallelujah. God is faithful. God is so faithful. He's faithful to provide your spiritual needs, and He's faithful to provide your physical needs. What a blessing the faithfulness from this church and the faithfulness that we've received from the Lord to pay off that facility. Like, I mean, this, everything that we've seen here tonight, from feeding the children in Haiti to being able to feed our children here in this community, in that epic center, spiritually, week after week after week, it boasts God's faithfulness. We serve a faithful God. Hallelujah. Tonight we're going to turn to Mark chapter 6 when we're talking about spiritual and physical needs being met, people being fed. This is a perfect story to get a picture of this. In Mark chapter 6, this is where Jesus, this multitude of people forms. And they're talking, you know, this big crowd of 5,000 people. We're gonna pick this up in verse 34. That's Mark chapter 6, verse 34. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion. Pastor Ward talked about that this morning. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. I think it was stupid sheep without a shepherd if you were here this morning. So he began teaching them many things. He's meeting their spiritual need. He's feeding them spiritually first. Late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to nearby farms and villages and buy something to eat." But Jesus said, "You feed them." "With what?" they asked. "We'd have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all these people." Notice here, there's two different types of people in this passage. There's the consumers, the multitude, and then there's the feeders, which are the disciples. Sometimes you have a need in your own life that needs to be met. God is faithful to meet that need. Other times, you're looking to satisfy somebody else's needs, trying to feed them the good news, and God is faithful to give you the seed to sow in order for them to reap the harvest. Verse 38. "How much bread do you have?" he asked. "Go and find out." They came back and reported, "We have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish." I love how no matter how much you or I have, it's always enough if we put it in the hands of Jesus. Little is much when God's in it. Even though I might be weak, God can show himself strong. If you have lack, he's going to show you how he can make extra out of it. Verse 39, "Then Jesus told the disciples to have the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of 50 or 100. They took instruction very well. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up toward heaven, and blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. He also divided the fish for everyone to share. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterward the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftover bread and fish. A total of 5,000 men and their families were fed from those loaves." I got to stop right here and just look. The faithfulness that God has shown Charleston Church. Let us always do more with what little we have. Let's let this stretch. If God gives you a word, don't keep it a secret. Tell as many people that you come in contact with that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he's alive and he is well today. Hallelujah. Now, this really was the premise of that original message. You understand, I was a skinny college kid. A lot of times you go into, you know, you gain the freshman 15. I didn't. I lost like 30 pounds my, like, 1 year at faith school. And then I kept losing weight, and the doctor said, "You have to leave." No, that's not what happened. But I buffets just blew my mind. Okay, you have to understand. I have a problem with buffets today. I used to love them. Just the thought of getting more food. There's so much food. This is the kid that, you know, after church, we used to go down to Robinson's and we'd sit there and I would just be waiting for the old dried crusty pizza, you know, for them to get ready to throw it out. Oh, good, I'll take it. I'm not the same guy, okay? I've grown in some ways. Buffets fascinated me then, but now I have to tell you, you might think less of me, but in order to prove my point, I'll do it, Lord. I hate buffets. Is it just me, or when you go to a restaurant, would you rather them bring you the food? I didn't go to the grocery store. I came to a restaurant. Bring me the food. That's all I'm asking. There's two different types. There's buffets. See, that doesn't do anything for me. This is where your opinion of me is going to go down. We have an upcoming trip where my wife has scheduled, she's got reservations at a couple restaurants that serve buffets. And she knows how I feel about buffets. I don't like it. So my loving wife, man, find you a woman who says, honey, I will go and get your food for you and bring it back to you. Praise God. Hallelujah. You'll either think I'm the smartest guy or the biggest jerk you've ever met in your life. But that's a good woman. She's going to fix my plate and bring it back to me. That's what I'm interested in. I talked to Jordan Day last week and asked him about this. Do you understand that countryside, where are you, Jordan? Okay, according to Jordan's estimation, they've been doing the Friday night fish fry since, I think it was 1029 AD, you told me. It's been going on for a long time. It's an all-you-can-eat fish fry. I think in the years past, it was a buffet. It used to be a buffet, okay. But see, now it's whatever you want. I mean, how much fish can you handle, bro? And it's not like you've got to go up and keep getting another plate and getting more and getting more. You just got to stay where you are and tell your waiter, please, I'd like some more fish, thank you. I think the reason why that's been so successful is the roots of that thing. Think about this. How much closer to a biblical meal can you have? It's breaded fish. It's standing the test of time, folks. Hallelujah. Jesus used this all you care to eat feeding program. It wasn't a buffet. He had them sit, stay there. I'm going to bring you the food. It doesn't matter if you're at a buffet or it's all you care to eat or all you can eat. Some of you are looking at me getting a little hungry right now. It doesn't matter what way it is. You still can get whatever you want. All you've got to do is follow the guidelines that the restaurant has set up. If it's a buffet, you're not going to get any food unless you're like me and have a good wife. If you sit at your table and don't go get it, you have to be obedient and follow what the restaurant wants you. Go up, get yourself some food. If it's all you care to eat and it's cooked to order, like that biblical program that Countryside is running, you're not going to get more food unless you ask for it. In the same way with our spiritual lives. Come on. God sometimes says, you need to come and you need to get this. I've already provided it for you right here. There's other times that God says, stay right there. I'm going to do this for you. You don't have to move. It's coming. It's going to fall right in your lap. All you have to do is remain obedient. Sometimes God tells you to go. He told Abraham, go to the place that I'll show you. Get up and go. And Abraham was blessed because he got up and went. Sometimes God tells you to stay. He told the disciples to stay, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you. They just had to be patient and wait and stay. The important part wasn't about going or staying. It's about being obedient to what God has called you to do. We must remain faithful. The people in this multitude, they had an option to stay or to leave. I've never thought of it this way. 5,000 men and their families were fed. How many people do you think actually came to hear him preach? Huh? Think about this. The average family size, I'll be conservative and call it 5. 25,000 people. And you've got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, I'm telling you what, I'm out. I'm going to go and get fed somewhere else. How many people do you think got up and left? The Bible doesn't talk about it. I'm just wondering. Did they all stay? I don't know. Don't leave this place tonight. Sometimes we don't have the patience, and we get up and we leave. God tells you to stay, and sometimes we feel like we want to get up and go. I want to warn someone tonight, don't leave until you've received what God has prepared for you. In due season, you will reap a blessing if you faint not. Don't give up, because your blessing is right around the corner. Your breakthrough is right around the corner. I can't imagine if I was in the multitude and I said, they don't have any food. I'm out of here. Concession stand's closed. I'm going home. And then my buddy said, hey, where'd you go? man, that guy just put on this great fish fry feed. I can't believe you missed it. I don't want to be caught being the one that's missed out on what God has done and watching somebody else receiving a blessing that God had intended for me. We must remain faithful. Faithfulness often requires patience, but faithfulness is always obedience lived out. In order to receive from God's faithfulness, you have to live in obedience. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 14 shows the blessing. I'm going to look at verses 1 through 6 here. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commands that I am giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world. Not that we're going to play equal. He's setting you high above all of the earth. You will experience your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Your fruit baskets and breadboards will be blessed. Wherever you go and whatever you do, you will be blessed. There's a blessing attached to your faithfulness tonight. We must remain faithful. Luke chapter 19, verse 26. Yes, the king replied, and to those who use well what they are giving, hallelujah, even more will be given. I'm telling you tonight, Charleston Church has used well what God has given them. This thing, one church down east, that's not the end. God knows that he's found a place in Charleston that's going to be faithful to carry out the calling that he's placed on us. We're not going to back down now. I don't know about you, but I'm not about to back down. I'm going to go forward, and I'm going to see what God is going to have. In Jesus' name, we will remain faithful, and we will remain to receive from his faithfulness. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter how big or how small the thing is that God has asked you to do. The only thing that matters is that you're faithful. Live your life in obedience. Do whatever God has called you to do and don't give up on it. God's faithfulness is complete. Hallelujah. God's faithfulness is complete. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says, and I am certain that God who began a good work in you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. I need you, somebody needs to hear this tonight. Because if you look around, it's way too common. Don't let this be you. Sometimes we expect and accept partial blessing. Don't let that be you tonight. Don't walk out of this door tonight just, well, God did a little bit for me. That's good enough. I don't want to bother him. That's not the fullness of God. We serve a God who has complete faithfulness. He's not going to bring you just halfway and, well, I brought you far enough, you know, like a hitchhiker. Well, where are you headed? Well, I'm heading to Bangor. Where do you want to go? Well, I need to go to Portland. Well, I'll get you halfway. That's not the type of God that we serve. He's gonna honor your faithfulness and show you complete faithfulness. You know, Jesus didn't feed just half the crowd in Mark chapter 6. No, they all ate, and there was plenty left over. He didn't feed half the crowd, and he didn't put on a half-off luncheon portion. It was a full meal. So that tells me that I don't have to expect or accept anything less when I bring my need to the Father above. Lord, this is my need, and I'm not expecting you to do this thing halfway. I'm expecting here and now that you're going to take care of this thing. I'm expecting and I'm going to accept nothing less than the fullness of your faithfulness that you have for my life. Charleston Church, you don't have to expect. Don't you ever expect God to do something little. Set your sights high above, high above, high above, because he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can ask or think. So stop setting your sights low, because that's not the God you serve. Hallelujah. I bet the crowd would have been perfectly happy and grateful to have received just the loaves, not the fish. Sometimes we can fall into a trap to say that good is good enough. But if good is not what God didn't set you up for goodness. God set you up for greatness. God's got so much more in store. Oftentimes, we discredit what his faithfulness is able to accomplish. Sometimes we don't receive in full because we don't believe in full. We take half the word. Okay, that's good enough. Stick with it. Receive in full when you believe in full. Hallelujah. I took my family to, we went to Chewergy's a couple weeks ago. There's a picture, look at that. Can you see that? There's a monkey on top of me, that's actually Tyson. We went out there with a plan to pick apples. See, this is a picture of what God will do for you. We went down the rows, which row do you want to go into? And we found the perfect row to find the apples. And the first apple that Tyson laid his eyes on was way up near the top of the tree. The apple was there, but it was too high for him to reach. Sometimes things in life seems to be out of your reach. It's there, but it's out of your reach. Too many people have fallen off. It's out of my ability. It's out of my reach. I'm turning around empty-handed. Tyson could have turned around empty-handed, but you know what he said, Dad? We came here to pick apples. I obeyed you and went with you to go pick apples. I can't reach this because it's out of my reach. It's too high. But I'm looking about how high you are. And I'm just thinking that it's within your realm of possibilities that you can help me reach that thing that I want, that thing that I desire, that thing that you have brought me to the place to get this. I've got an idea that you could help me go all the way. And so I picked the kid up by his belt loop and threw him up. And he was able to get that thing that he had his expectations set on. He didn't walk away. You know, he expected the apples. He accepted nothing less than the apples. And he walked away with apples that day. We need to stop looking at everyone else wishing it was us that was receiving, when maybe it's not about God playing favorites, because he doesn't play favorites. Maybe it's because they've actually positioned themselves to receive from the Lord. Stop looking at other people. Just begin to position yourself and believe. Petition him and receive. I'll say that again. Position yourself and believe. God, I know that you can do it. And now I'm going to petition you. I'm going to offer you a formal request. This is a written document, because I've got a written document. I don't know about you, but my Bible says that anything that I ask in his name, he's going to do it for me. So that I know it's already written down. I'm holding him to his word. I am positioning myself and I'm believing, and now I'm petitioning you and I'm receiving in Jesus' name. We must remain faith-filled. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. This blew my lid in college. Every time that I read about Jesus feeding the multitude with loaves and fishes, I thought it was the same story and somebody just got the wrong count a few times. I was like, and then I finally realized, I put it all together. Oh, this didn't happen just once. Verse 1, about this time, another large crowd, not the same one, another large crowd had gathered, and the people ran out of food again. Sometimes we tend to get ourselves in the same situations, needing the same things from the Lord, and he's faithful to provide. Jesus called his disciples and told them, I feel sorry for these people. They have been with me here for 3 days, and they have nothing left to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will faint along the way, for some of them have come a long distance. Some of you have come a long distance. God didn't take you this far just to forsake you. His disciples replied, how are we supposed to find enough food to feed them out here in the wilderness? This had just happened. I don't know the length of time between the two chapters, but it's a flip of the page for me. I can't imagine they forgot it that quickly when they just fed a larger crowd with less food. Jesus asked, how much bread do you have? 7 loaves, they replied. So Jesus told all the people to sit down on the ground. Then he took the 7 loaves, thanked God for them, and broke them into pieces. He gave them to his disciples, this is like deja vu, who distributed the bread to the crowd. A few small fish were found too. So Jesus also blessed these and told the disciples to distribute them. They ate as much as they wanted. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 large baskets of leftover food. There were about 4,000 people in the crowd that day, and Jesus sent them home after they had eaten. People often underestimate what God can do. When you haven't seen the fullness of God, when you haven't experienced the miracle-working power of God, it's easy to just, I don't quite get it. Sometimes it's hard to connect, but through the scriptures and through the testimonies of others, the Bible says they were able to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimonies. I'm here to tell you tonight, if God's done something good for you, it's not just for you. It's so that you can share it with somebody else so they might receive that victory, that their faith would rise and that they would be able to position themselves and believe and petition him. And see, we're all in this thing together. Too often, we underestimate his faithfulness. We rely on our sight and not our faith. But I'm here to tell you that if he did it before, he can do it again. He fed that multitude of 5,000, I don't know, with the family members included, could have been 25,000, 50,000. He fed them before, he can do it again. God's done so many great things for you in the past. Sometimes it's like we've got faith for the big things, but the small things, I don't know if I can bother God with it. Well, that was kind of a one-time thing. No, God's faithful to do it again. Maybe you've seen him do something great in your life then. Is he going to do it now? Yes, he will. Maybe you've seen people do it for them. Well, will he do it for me? Yes, he will. Maybe God did that thing. Can he do this thing? Yes, he can. He did it over there. Do you think he can do it here? Yes, yes, yes. He's faithful tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Lastly tonight, musicians, you can come. We need to rely on his faithfulness. We need to rely on his faithfulness. In Mark chapter 8, verse 13, this is where it kind of comes together. Jesus has fed the multitude the first time. It blew people's minds. The disciples couldn't even believe it, but then it happened again. And they were still doubting how, they asked him, how are you going to do this? How are you going to do this? Don't be caught in that trap and have received something from him and then wondering in the position where you are now. No, look to the same God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is a God that has faithfulness that you can rely on tonight. Chapter 8, verse 13. So he got back into the boat and left them, and he crossed to the other side of the lake. But the disciples, see, these disciples are getting a bad rap tonight, but they had forgotten to bring any food right after they fed the 4,000. I would have maybe grabbed a doggy bag from those baskets that were left over. We're about to go on a voyage here. Gentlemen, let's grab a couple loaves of bread extra. As they were crossing the lake in verse 15, Jesus warned them, watch out, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and of Herod. At this, they began to argue with each other because they hadn't brought any bread. Jesus knew what they were saying, so he said, "Why are you arguing about having no bread? Don't you know or understand even yet? Are your hearts too hard to take it in? You have eyes, can't you see? You have ears, can't you hear? Don't you remember anything at all when I fed the 5,000 with the 5 loaves of bread? How many baskets of leftovers did you pick up afterwards?" 12, they said. "And when I fed the 4,000 with 7 loaves, how many large baskets of leftovers did you pick up?" 7, they said. "Don't you understand yet?" he asked them. The disciples saw it first hand. His faithfulness, his ability. And yet they discounted his ability and his faithfulness, but they put such a big focus on their current situation and their current obstacles. Tonight's your night to stop focusing on your current situation and your current obstacles and turn your eyes to Jesus, the one whose faithfulness is complete. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Charleston Church, God is faithful. We must remain faithful. God's faithfulness is complete. We must be faith-filled and rely on his faithfulness. Can we all stand tonight? Hallelujah. Praise you, God. It'd be all right if you just begin to worship him in your own way. Oh God, we praise you. Lord, we lift you up. Have your way here tonight, God. Oh Jesus, you've shown yourself faithful time and time again through the scriptures, through our lives. I could never doubt your faithfulness. I could never doubt your ability. I could never doubt your miracle working power because I've seen too much. Oh, I praise you, Jesus. Praise you, God, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed tonight. Jesus. Maybe you're here tonight. I've got a simple call. 3 steps. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here tonight and you know that you're distant from God, all I can picture is that multitude. And somebody walked out early. And they weren't able to partake in the miracle that was about to happen because they left and they went away from the Lord. If you're here tonight, you've distanced yourself. You know that you're far from God, but tonight's the night that you're going to make it right with him. You want to give your heart to Jesus. You want to commit to living for him because there is a better way. And it's a way that's filled with God's faithfulness. If you're here tonight, that's you. Just slip your hand up in the air so I can see you. That you want to get your heart right with God. Hallelujah. Yeah, hallelujah. I see it. Anybody else? You want to get your heart right with God tonight? Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Yeah, I see it. Praise God. Anybody else? I'll take another minute. I don't want to rush. Praise you, God. Church, it's all right if you begin to give the Lord glory for a couple decisions tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's a faithful God. Secondly, before I call you guys down here, oh God, maybe you're here tonight. You've experienced God's faithfulness, but there's some things in your life that have remained incomplete. My question to you tonight is, are you hungry for God's complete faithfulness? I believe that those things that have remained undone become finished tonight in Jesus' name. If that's you, in just a moment, I'm going to invite you down here. Thirdly, you know He's faithful. But I want to ask you, are you hungry to continue to rely on His faithfulness? That the next time you face a situation, you're not going to be dumbfounded at what to do like the disciples. No, this is easy. If He did it before, He's going to do it again. I'm not going to continue to live like I did in the past. I'm going to live in the future. I know that what God has made available to me in His Word, what He has said in His Word, He means it. I can take it to the bank. I can believe Him, and I'm going to rely on His faithfulness. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. If you raised your hand, you want to get right with God tonight, come right down here and meet me right here first. And then the rest of you can come down to the altar. If you want to get right with God tonight, come on down. Come on down. Come on. God, begin to praise the Lord. Come on, encourage them tonight. Come on down. Yeah, hallelujah. Yeah, praise you, God. Hey, don't know. I'm Anthony. What's your name? Jared? God's faithful, man. He's so faithful. And He's got a great plan for your life. He's got great things in store for you. Praise you, God. Anybody else? I saw another hand. If you want to come down. Hey, man, how you doing? Awesome. Anybody else? Anybody else who wants to respond tonight? Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. On a Sunday night, someone's about to receive from God's faithfulness tonight. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Jesus. Guys, I'm just going to lead you in this simple prayer. All you got to do is repeat these words. Believe this in your heart and confess with your mouth is what the Bible says. So by praying this prayer, we're going to ask God to forgive us and to come and give us new life. You guys ready? Come on, Charleston. You know how to do this. Pray together as a family. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for not giving up on me. I know that I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. Make me new. Make me pure. I'm going to live my life for you forever. And tonight is the first night that I begin to receive from your complete faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let the Lord know that we serve an awesome God. Stay right here, guys. Stay right here. Now, for the rest of you, if you responded to that altar call, if you have some things in your life that need to be completed, and if you are committed to living a life relying on His faithfulness, come, let's enter into this altar tonight, and we'll end this night with praise. Hallelujah. Come on down. Come on down.